Hello, I'm an addict. My name's Ken. I think I'm a baby dinosaur. I just had 20 years January 1st. So I guess that makes me the baby dinosaur. When you listen to Carmelita, you know, the one thing that keeps running through your head is, it's a tough act to follow, you know what I mean? Because I don't sing, you know what I mean? So like I said, I got clean. Let me start. If you're struggling to get a day clean today, we can help you. I just want you to know that. I got clean New Year's Day 1984. I didn't get up and make a New Year's resolution like I'm going to go to NA today and get my life straightened. That's not how it happened. I was out the night before New Year's Eve. I was out hustling. I was shooting a little pool, and like Carmelita, I was a dope fiend. I was trying to hustle to get some money to cop, and I got that done, and because I could shoot a little pool. And the next day I woke up in my parents' house. I hadn't been there for years. I don't know who let me in. They still have not told me. My father has since passed away. My mother doesn't tell me. It's kind of a joke. And not till I had children did I understand why they would even let me in the door. Because I could never figure it out. But I woke up in one of the rooms in their house, and I spent about 3 days. I started kicking, I started getting sick, and I spent about 3 days being sick, and the girl who I was living with, and I always say she didn't know she was living with me, but I was living with her. I hadn't seen her for a few days, and she called me up and she said, "I'm sick," and I thought she meant dope sick. And so I said, "Oh, good, we're going to get together, we're going to hustle, we're going to cop." So I went to meet her, and when I went to meet her, her eyes were all yellow like egg yolks. And I said, "Oh, you're sick. You're sick. So she said, I said, "You got hepatitis." And she's, because I had had hepatitis in the 70s, and I knew what it was like. And she said, "Oh, no, I don't." And that's how it usually went with her and I. I said, "You have hepatitis?" She said, "No, I don't." And I said it was black. She said it was white, you know, the whole nine yards. So we went to the hospital. In the hospital, they told her she had hepatitis. So on the way back, we were walking past a corner in Philadelphia that I spent a lot of time, the last couple years between living with her and sleeping on the bench underneath the Frankfurt L is where I spent most of my time. I didn't really have a place that I lived, but if I was with her, I was in her house. If I wasn't, I was on the street. And we had come to this place where I had slept from time to time, and we ran into a friend of ours who I had gotten high with. So she started talking to him, and I was getting a soda, and I asked her, "What did he have to say?" I said, "What Junior have to say?" She said, "Oh, nothing." And it amazes me how two people can have a conversation, and by now I'm 3 days dope sick, the insanity's full blown, and she's telling me nothing. So I snatched her up, and it got ugly, and I don't really, it's not a thing I like to talk about, but it is part of my story. We got in a fight, and we stopped traffic, and by the time it was all done, I was walking back towards my parents' house. And this is all happening in an eight-block radius. I'm walking back towards my parents' house, and I just sat down on a set of steps, and I really thought, you know, I'd never, like, went after a woman in my life, and it had been probably 10 years since I was sick because I shot dope every day. I never missed a day. So I'd never experienced being this sick, and it's all full-blown, And I sat down on a set of steps and I just said, God, you got to get me out of this. And I really didn't know what I was asking to get out of. I hadn't thought of God in 20 years. And that, I went home, and my father, there's some people here that look like they're as old as me, so you would know about Archie Bunker. That's my dad. He hated everybody. And by this time in my relationship with my father, I called him Scotty. My name's Ken Scott. I don't really mind if you know my last name. I don't really care. They called him Scotty, and I called him Scotty. I didn't call him Dad for years and years and years. So that should tell you a little bit about the relationship he and I had. Most of our relationship by this time went like this. Scotty, and he would say, what do you want now? I always wanted something. You know, there wasn't any other question. What do you want now? So he spent large amounts of time in the bathroom, just like that character did on TV. And I don't know why. But anyway, he spent large amounts of time in the bathroom. And I walked back into his house, and he was up in the bathroom as usual, and I went, Scotty, and he went, what do you want now? And I said, I think I want to stop doing drugs. And the toilet flushed. He came running out of the bathroom. He came running down the steps, and he looked at me. He said, what do we have to do? And I always think of that day as the day he was waiting to hear that for 20 years. And I just think, you know, I'm a dad now, as insane as that seems, but I'm a dad now. And I think if my son or my daughter were going through what I went through and put me through, I can't even imagine that I would last as long as he lasted without killing me. Till this day, it still amazes me. So the only thing I could remember when he said, what do we have to do? I remember about this place, St. Mary's Detox, this guy I got high with went to about a year before. Now, he didn't go to any meetings because he ended up dying with me and him getting high about a week before all this happened. But all I could remember was my friend Brian had gone to St. Mary's Detox. It's the only thing I knew. I never tried getting clean, never thought about getting clean, didn't know about any 12-step fellowships. I thought all the cats who left the corner were dead or doing space-age time in a joint. I didn't think anybody got clean. So I said, look, all I know is about this place, St. Mary's. So we find out where it is. It's Girard Avenue in Philadelphia. It doesn't really mean much to you, but he takes me to detox. So I get to detox, and there's an intake guy, as we all know, and the intake guy says, what's your name? So my name's Ken Scott, but you can't help me. He says, all right, what's your address? 1822 Sanger Street, but you can't help me. What's your phone number? 215-288-9. But you can't help me. And he looks at me and says, look, motherfucker, if we can't help you, what are you doing here? And I don't know if you ever saw Officer and a Gentleman where Richard Gere starts crying. There's, I don't have any place else to go. Well, that's what I did. I just started crying. I don't have any place else to go. So he says, all right, sit tight. We'll take care of you. So they give me some pajamas. And I'm thinking it's a methadone thing, you know, they're going to hook me up. A couple days later, we'll be playing tennis, you know what I mean? You know, of course, this is in the dead of the city in Philadelphia. Like I'm really thinking straight, and it's January, you know? So they strap me to a bed, basically, and I'm in my fourth day, and shit's coming out of my body in places I didn't even know I had holes, you know what I mean? It's bad. So about 2 days later, they put us in the day room. I guess you just sit there all day. It's the day room. And there's a blackboard, and by this time, I knew how to write prescriptions. So I start writing prescriptions on the blackboard. So The guy comes in, he looks at everybody, and he says, who wrote the prescriptions on a blackboard? You know, it's prescriptions for narcotics, you know what I mean? I'm like, and I'm sitting there like this, you know, I'm like, you know. He says, all right, well, look, don't worry about it. So he raises it. Next day, day room, I'm in there writing prescriptions. They ain't even dealing with me yet. It's like I'm getting skipped over on purpose, you know what I mean? And back then, you got like 7 or 8 days in detox. You didn't get like 3 days, and then they kick you to the curb, you know what I mean? So I do the same thing. He says, who's writing the prescriptions on the blackboard? I said, he says, look, man, come here. He calls me over. He says, look, you can't be writing fucking prescriptions on the bike. He said, I can kick you out for this. I said, I don't know what else to do. Yeah. I mean, I just don't know what else to do. And as much as I say that with like kind of a little smile on my face, that's a pretty sad place to end up. I mean, I've been given a lot of other information through my life other than prescriptions, you know, but I just couldn't come up with anything. That was my life. So the next day they hand out these sheets of paper and it says, give me 3 good reasons to cop and then 3 good reasons to use what I cop. So everybody's writing, and looking like we're in class, you know. They're writing and writing. I'm sitting there. So everybody hands everything back in and he reads a little something from the first one. And that person, oh, that was mine, you know. And he gets to mine, he says, whose is the blank one? He says, how come you didn't write a prescription on it? I said, well, I could give you 3 reasons to cop, and I could give you 3 reasons to use, but none of them would be very good. And I just think in my life, that was the beginning of any kind of sanity happening in my life. For the first time in my life, it was the first time I ever thought copping and using would not be good. I mean, you couldn't convince me otherwise my whole life. So then I saw this cat. In 1969, I went to Woodstock, and I saw this cat walking around. He had Woodstock beads on. So I really wouldn't talk to nobody else. It's about the third day I'm in there. And there was some kind of movie on that we all wanted to watch, and we're trying to, you know, you're only allowed up so late on Friday night, and they're going to let you up later on Saturday night, and the movie was on Friday night, so we're trying to get them to take an hour from Saturday and give it to us on Friday. We want to watch this movie, so we're trying to work a deal, naturally, and I go up to the guy with the Woodstock beads. I said, yo, bro, is it Woodstock? He said, yeah. I said, me too. So what? I said, I just thought maybe, you know, we talk a little bit. So we work a deal with the movie. He lets us watch the movie. About 3 days later, now everybody that I came in with is detoxed. They're handing out treatment centers. So I'm like, maybe they'll send me to Florida. Maybe they'll send me to that nice one out in California. So he says, so-and-so, you're going to Deer Run, White Deer Run, and you're going to this one, and you're going to that one. He gets to you, me, he goes, I don't have one for you. I said, what do you mean, everybody up? What's up? He says, you got to go to NA. He said, I send you to treatment, you're either going to throw somebody out a window or you're going to jump out of a window. He said, this is like Monopoly. Do not pass go. Just keep going. Go right down NA because you got problems. So I'm saying, I said, I don't want to go down NA. I said, you mean the meetings you've been taking to me? You know, they would take us to the meetings in the detox. I have my flower pajamas on and my striped robe and my paper slippers. And I'd be looking in the mirror, 110 pounds. I'm looking good. I'm going to the meeting. You know what I mean? And I hated every minute of the meeting. You know, and guys always say how they saw girls at the meetings. Yeah, I saw girls. I could care less. I could care less. I didn't want anything to do with meetings. So he says, I'm just telling you, you just need to go to NA. So it's my day to get out. I'm on the elevator with him. I said, look, I don't want to go to these meetings. I don't want to go out. Can't you find a place to send me for 6, maybe 7 years? You know, that I don't have to come out. And he's like, Nah.